the fans would chant, "I believe, I believe, I believe that we will win. I believe." And I believe that there is power in a faith statement. And what I mean by a faith statement is the type of things that we have been looking at where I declare something that is true to be true, that I say it out loud, because even when I hear myself talk, there is power. That's why, even though things might be difficult, when I woke up this morning, I had physical pain in my body, but I didn't need to say it out loud. I already knew it. But if I spent all of my morning sitting around talking about my pain, I might not have come in today. Because there's power in what I say, right? And so the reverse of that is also true. When I declare stuff that is true, and there are plain, simple truths that I can pull from the Bible that are reasonable for me to believe, reasonable for me to say with my mouth, that encourage me, that strengthen me, that change who I am. And how many of you know that who you are and your attitude, your thoughts, comes with you when you walk into the room? Well, what? And that I can change the atmosphere in a room. And did you know that your life circumstances that you might feel like are following you around? Kind of remember Charlie Brown? Anyone old enough to remember Charlie Brown, Peanuts gang? Remember Pigpen?
Yeah.
Right? He would walk around a cloud of dust to just follow him. You ever feel like that? Man, I've felt like that. I've had seasons of my life with a lousy attitude and just kind of felt like, hey, and there was real difficulty. But where my attitude and how I carried myself and what I saw and what I focused on just kind of followed me around. But instead, what we want to do is we want to grow in faith by having some faith statements. I believe. And we've chosen to break this down with three different categories: God the Father, Daddy God, God the Son, which was last Sunday, and today we are on God the Holy Spirit. So just by way of refresher, the paper that you have in your hand, I believe God created me in His image. That's the first one.
Amen.
I believe God chose me before I was born. I believe God is slow to anger and full of unfailing love, forgiving. I believe Jesus died that the guilt of my sin would be removed and lives today that I might have life. I believe Jesus loves me sacrificially and without fail. I believe Jesus prays for me. And today, I believe God the Holy Spirit guides me into truth. Femi, if you'll come up, I've asked a different person to share on each one, and I'd like to read this passage to you, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. This is Jesus talking, introducing, if you will, or describing the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and does not recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you and with you now and later will be in you." Femi, come and share with us this morning.
You just hold that like a mic. Yeah. Or you can set it there if you need to.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This passage has been, the aspects of it that have, you know, touched me is really more the chemistry, the intimate provision that I recognize in this passage. I recognize the wordings of the passage and the wordings of the verse just reflect the provision that God has given in His Spirit to us. Like we are able to see words like "with you, in you, and you knowing Him." And it just gives me this picture of the, and this is, personally, I have related to this, how these scriptures have, this specific passage has affected me. It's given me a perspective of that a relationship with Christ has meat in it, or has the substance of it, is the reality of knowing or being conscious of the activity of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. That the picture or the content of truth that I feel that I have in my mind, even about just things, opinions, and other things, always seem to is always bear on the sense of the Holy Spirit, or the sense of His witness in my spirit, the sense of what He's saying about the thing, the sense of the impression He gives me about things. And it's this scripture is just saying that, look, there's that His relationship with us is concrete. It's not abstract. His relationship with us is real. And this is the tool we have. This is the difference we have from the world. That the world cannot receive Him because they do not see Him. But that we see Him because He is in us and lives in us. He dwells in us. And so I feel like when I read this, I feel challenged to take advantage of the reality that the Spirit is in me, to actually seek an overwhelming measure of His impression, of His activity in my heart, in my life, to not leave with this, to not make it something occasional, something abstract or occasional, but something fundamental, something self-defining, you know, because looking at myself and just the way, you know, just my touch, just development, I just felt like every time I felt the realness of a truth, even with respect to just my attitude or with respect to just things, just issues that happen, you know, in relationships, and just with respect to judgment in every sphere of my life, I've noticed that every time my motives are used for this for judgment, it's always corrupted. There's no clarity. It's not truth. Is not a function of those of that judgment. But I noticed that when my heart submits to the Spirit, when the activity of the Spirit, when I recognize or there's submission in my heart to the activity of the Spirit, and what is He saying? What's His opinion? What's His influence? How is He showing up in this moment and in this place? I noticed the clarity of truth, the clarity of just the soundness of mind, the clarity of truth, the sharpness of what the truth is about that scenario, about that argument, or about that circumstance, or about, you know, just my interpretation of the circumstances of my life, you know. And so I just want to, you know, to end with this recognition of the distinction between us as believers and the world, where that scripture says the world cannot receive Him because they do not see Him. That is, they seek Him. And I use the word "see" kind of refers to some kind of objective. They're trying to know the Spirit, or trying to their approach to knowing Him is just in a kind of abstract or objective. I mean, objective isn't necessarily wrong, but in this sense, it's like as an object somewhere externally, you know, rather than a subjective awareness of His activity, a subjective awareness of the truth within our hearts, the realities going on, the truth that is in our conscience, the truth in our spirit. And the Spirit of God makes Himself known in a very real, subjective way. And I feel encouraging us to seek that awareness, to seek a multiplication of this sense of the realness of His Spirit in us, to seek to be overwhelmed. Not just to have little, oh, maybe the Spirit told me this, but to seek to be overwhelmed, to seek for it to be a pattern of thinking, a pattern of thought, a real place of reference. Every time I'm questioning things, or every time I need to make a decision, I just know the Spirit is here. He is with me. I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I know Him, and He needs to actively... He needs to make active suggestions in my heart. His impression needs to be overwhelming. You know? And so that's what I have to say.
Thanks. Thank you. That's good.
It's very good. And Femi said a couple of things that are so important to these three thoughts that we have this morning about the Holy Spirit. Because there has been abuse and mystery around the topic of God, the Holy Spirit, I find that in modern Americans, often ignored. And yet, when we look at what is in Scripture, God, the Holy Spirit, who God, the Holy Spirit is, what God, the Holy Spirit does, is actually very simple. And so let's look at what Jesus is saying very, very clearly here. He's preparing his followers, the people that knew him face to face, for the fact that he's going to be crucified, he's going to resurrect, but then he's going to go to be with the Father. And he's preparing them for what life without him in the body with them is going to be like. And he's instructing them that God the Holy Spirit, this part of God, this expression of God, is going to be alive and important and real and functional to them. So let's look at what he's saying. He's saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Now, it's really important because this is a different word, but a similar word to what we saw last week that was described of Jesus. And in particular, what Jesus is saying, I'm going to send God the Father is going to send God the Holy Spirit who will come alongside you. Do you need somebody that comes alongside you? Right? Now, not just anybody, and not somebody who's going to complain, not somebody who's going to put unrealistic expectations on you. No, God the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside you as an advocate, and that is one, in Jesus' words describing God the Holy Spirit, that is one who provides help, aid, relief from a place of being stronger. God the Holy Spirit is stronger than us. And when God the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, he does so from a place of strength. Isn't that good? It is so good. And he guides us into truth. And so the reality is that when we're new to faith, we might say, we might always pray, Jesus, Jesus, or we might always pray, God, our Father. And those are all members of the Godhead that are accessible. But in fact, when we hear the voice of God, or the Scripture comes to life, or we speak to him, all of that interaction is actually with God, the Holy Spirit. And not to be too much of a Bible neatnik, but that's the truth of the simplicity of what Jesus teaches us. It is God the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of us and to help us. And this is really beyond just salvation and repentance of sin and the very basics of spiritual freedom. This is about the kind of dark, murky stuff that we're not really sure what to do and how to live. And do I make this decision or that decision? Did you know that God cares? God cares. I think one of the most damaging things that I see over and over is people that make life-changing decisions on a whim, on a craving, on a passing thought. But God, the Holy Spirit, has an opinion, and he has guidance, and he has help. There has been a part of human history where climbing mountains has been something that was really important, more important than sports or music. There, for some people in parts of the world, were setting records about which mountains could be climbed that had never been climbed before, how fast they could be climbed. And there's a really important principle from this that relates to this verse about God, the Holy Spirit, who guides us into truth. For the longest time, when people would climb mountains, they would only go in a big group, almost like a gang. And when you had a big group, you got to feed them. And so there's all this stuff you got to bring to be able to make a fire on a mountain, and to food that you're going to carry and water that you're going to drink, because you can't just eat snow, you'll die. Okay? And so these big, big groups, but these big, big groups often could not reach certain mountaintops. And those that they could reach, they had to reach very, very slowly. And this is actually kind of a decent example. A lot of times we'll make life decisions just asking a gang of people what they think. But actually, God's plan is a little bit different. He does want us to be in life-changing relationships, life-giving relationships. He does want us to seek counsel from select spiritual authority in our life. That's a topic for another day. But he does want us to have an active, personal relationship with him, because he has counsel for us, much of which is in Scripture. So why do I have this picture up? I'm so glad you asked. This is what you call alpine climbing. Alpine climbing is when two people go. And when two people go, they're linked to each other. You can't see the rope. They are tied to each other. And when most of mountain climbing is involved, big spikes on your shoes and these ice picks, normally one in each hand. And because a lot of times with mountain climbing, whether it's like this or actually a sheer face, it is with each foot and each hand that you're sinking a spike into ice or between crevices and rocks, and you're pulling yourself up foot, hand, foot, hand, foot, hand. And so you can imagine, especially if you're on a grade that is higher than the one in the picture, if the person who's in front of you is a bad decision maker and they're moving too fast and they fall, guess what's going to happen next? You're going to fall, right? Especially if you're not paying attention to them. If they're not trustworthy in their decision making and they put their pick and their foot in a place that's not stable, when you can't always see, are you tracking? This is really important stuff. Then what happens is the force of their fall will pull you right off the mountain face and you both will die. And yet, this is a preferred method of climbing because for experienced, trustworthy climbers, they can get to the top that they would not otherwise achieve. They can achieve their purpose. Do you believe that God created you with purpose? God has a purpose for your life, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how you think. God wants you to live your life, and that includes times where you're not always sure, if I put my foot here, am I going to fall? Are you tracking with me? If I set this here, am I going to fall? There are times in our life where we cannot see. Now, certainly, Psalm 119, thy word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to guide us in life, in how we make decisions to ascend, to go higher, to achieve the purpose that we were created for. Not that somebody else was created for, that you were created for. And only God, the Holy Spirit, knows in intricate detail the purpose that you were created for. Now, I pray for all of you, but I cannot be on the inside of your head seeking God for you. Only you can seek God for you. Is God the Holy Spirit a guide who is being ignored? See, God the Holy Spirit is here every day speaking to us, seeking to guide us in truth. He is here. He is speaking to us through the scripture, sometimes through relationships. But we've got to push out the voices, the distractions that would crowd our ability to hear him. But he is here. He is here. God the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Isn't that good? Okay. God the Holy Spirit renews my thoughts and attitudes. Can we turn to Ephesians chapter 4? Chris is going to come and share with us on this point. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 is very simple. He writes, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes.
So to me, this is a really simple verse, but really tough to kind of think through. So you guys are going to help me. Everyone close your eyes. Trust me, please. Try to think of a place, maybe it's somewhere in your childhood, somewhere in your past. Maybe it's just a place you've always wanted to visit, something that's calm, something that's relaxing. When I think, I imagine my grandfather's farm and laying on the biggest lawn you'd ever see in front of this giant Amish-built barn and seeing a thunderstorm rolling in and hearing the thunder. Just kind of laying there, sitting, relaxing without a care, knowing that once the rain hits, I get to go inside and just sit there with the window open and stare, watching the rain come through. You can open your eyes. See, that's what I thought for the longest time was renewal, was the idea of taking time and relaxing. And I realized that that's escape. What I was doing was I was putting myself in a different place. I was putting myself in a complete, something I'm fond of. I have no problems with that. I still love my grandpa. Like, his farm is one of my favorite places to go to. But I'm fooling myself if I think that that's renewing my mind and attitude. Sitting there trying to take myself out of my current life, take myself out of my current job, out of my current family situation, out of my current life situation. That would be wrong of me. That would be almost, it's disregarding what this verse says. God, the Holy Spirit, renews my thoughts and attitudes. He's doing that. When we call on the Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts and attitudes, it's happening where we are, with who we are, in the place that we are. It's something to really think about. And it's one of the most important things as we've been here, as nomads, only for Abby 6 and me for 4 years, is remembering that God has me here in Baltimore working. And I can't just think that this is some place that I just live in. It's not some place that I just go to for work. It's not some place I go to for church. And instead, I have to call on the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? Those murder numbers from last month are scary and they're tough to deal with. But I'm going to still believe in a God that I think would allow for the next month to have zero. Yeah. That's still the God I believe in. That's still the God I want to follow. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into mind. And I think if we disregard that, we're going to become very pessimistic, which I don't think is a godlike trait. We're going to become very down, very depressed. We're going to become hopeless. And Jesus is the hope, but the Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to renew that. And calling on Him every day, being accepting of, being aware of His presence. I think a lot of times we try to say, oh, this Holy Spirit is this abstract thing. We can be aware of His presence. You can feel Him in this room. You can feel Him when you're with others. You can feel Him when you're alone, because the Holy Spirit, He's there with us every step of the way. And my part of the story is that I've tried to escape for a long time. And once I realized, and it was actually in Baltimore before I came here to live here, once I realized that the Holy Spirit was wherever I was, once I realized that I could call on Him to just renew my thoughts and attitudes, that changed my complete perspective. Because if something happens to me now, it doesn't faze me. I can look at it positively. I can look at it with this idea that there's a plan in motion, and this is a part of that plan. And if it's something, if I see one of my best friends get hurt, if I see someone in my family get hurt, I'm someone who wants to, I can't punch anyone. I want to run by their side and stand there with them. But when that happens, now I realize maybe it's not supposed to be me by that side. Maybe I'm supposed to be right behind them. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? Renewing your thoughts and attitudes. He's in our mind working, giving us those thoughts. Hey, maybe I need to do this. Maybe you need to do this. And as you listen and as you grow closer to Him, you get to be able to kind of discern a little bit better what's God and what's me. And that's a beautiful thing. So I just wanted to share that with you. You can still find your happy place. That's okay.
That's good. Thank you.
That's so good, Chris. A couple of thoughts from this verse that are so important. Because I know that it is possible to think and to feel that change is not possible for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But what we are learning and what we actually see on the back of the page, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we see that we are given a choice to bring our thoughts through a Jesus filter to what we think, what we feel, to confront that with the truth of God. And literally what that passage means from 2 Corinthians 10:5 is to cause our thoughts, what's going on in the inside of us, to obey Jesus based on having paid attention to Jesus. So the truth of God that we have in Jesus, we are supposed to take what we think and what we feel and bring it to obedience of the truth of Jesus. And so when we come to God, one beautiful thing about this passage is that what is clearly said is that God can make what we think and what we feel new. And not only new, but better. That's literally what the passage means in today's language. God is able to, if we will let Him. God is able to make what we think and what we feel new. And He is not only able to do that, but we are given an opportunity to let Him do that. Doesn't that sound good? It's a beautiful thing. Okay, our third final thought here from Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 through 28. And Kelly, if you'll come to share with us, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them.
Hi, church. Everybody's real quiet today. So I meant to do this really in advance, but last night when I pulled out my study Bible, I was really happy that I had already underlined and asterisked this passage, so it's good. In these, I think that 28 gets a lot of airtime, and so I'm really going to focus on 26. This is NIV, but it says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." And I like this because, for a couple reasons. The first, weakness in our culture has a bad connotation. You know, like something is a source of weakness or a sign of weakness. And God is kind of a come-as-you-are kind of God, that you don't have to be full of strength, you don't have to have it all together, you don't have to know what's going on before you come to Him to pray. And I also feel like He's saying, I got your back. You know, if you don't know what to pray, like, we're here with you. The Holy Spirit is here with you. It's going to be okay. Several years ago, I went through kind of a period of depression. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been through something like that. But sometimes when you pray, the words don't come. The darkness is so thick. And it's all you can do to hold it off, even physically. And so sometimes I would pray, Heavenly Father, I don't know what to pray. Can you just help me? And over again, or just I would be silent after that. But, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt that presence there, like I'm not forsaking you. I'm faithful. I'm right here. And so I think that that's really important. The other thing that I really like about this is that it's not about the words. You know, that it says, 27 says, "And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit." So it's what your heart says. It's not what your words say. You know, when you come to God in prayer, it's not about your vocabulary, your grammar, or how eloquent you sound. It's about where it's coming from in your heart and what that means. And so that's why I underlined and asterisked this passage in my Bible. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. I just love how brave our church is don't you? And sharing with each other. This is a place that's real. And we prove that every week, right? We've all got stuff, but this is not a place where people are fake. It's not. I love that aspect of our church. God strengthens me, and Kelly hit it right on the nose. There are times in life where you don't know what to say. But God can strengthen you. He can help you. In fact, what is actually said here is that God the Holy Spirit in helps us, in that first line, joins in with us, helping us. That's the God we serve. He joins in with us, and He helps us, and He strengthens us. This is the context for the verse, all things work together. People try to remove it. Oh, I'm just living my life. I'm making it happen on my own. I'm trying to make everything happen on my own. I kind of check the God box in my brain. But I'm actually, if I'm honest, I'm not really talking to God during the day. I'm definitely not listening to God. I'm not reading the Bible, memorizing Scripture, doing faith statement. But hey, everything's going to work out great. Well, no, that's wrong. Just because you checked off the God box in your brain some years ago does not mean that you're interacting with Him now. That's why Jesus says that there will be a time when people will come before Him and He will say, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Do we know Him? Are we engaging with God the Holy Spirit with that simple submission, that cry for help, even if it's not in English words, to invite God the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us in reality, in honesty, in transparency about our weaknesses and say, "God, strengthen us, join in with me, help me." And He's there. And He's there in that moment with all the help that we need and then some. That's our God. That's who He is. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? So from these verses today, somebody talk to me. What have you learned? Who is God? Anybody? What have you learned today? Who is God? God the Holy Spirit? And what does God the Holy Spirit do? He helps us, speaks with us, guides us. That's reassuring, right? You don't need to feel alone. That's reassuring. That's who God is. We read it in the Scripture. It's in there. That's the truth. Now, what do we learn from this? Who am I? Who are you? Right? I'm God's. What else? I'm a follower of God. I'm a believer. I'm covered by God. Isn't that good? Listen, God is with us. God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, these are faith statements that you can say to encourage yourself to stand in the truth that no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, God is with me. God is for me. And guess what comes out of these moments when I dig into the truth of Jesus and I have a personal interaction with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know what comes out of that? Security, identity, and a sense of belonging. That's what comes from a relationship with Jesus. That's what comes from our God. That's who He is. That's who He is. I can make these statements. God the Holy Spirit guides me into truth. God the Holy Spirit renews my thoughts and attitudes. God the Holy Spirit strengthens me and helps me pray. He comes alongside me. We do not serve a God who is out to dominate us and control us. That's why we don't lead this church that way. That's not God. He's not out to control us and dominate us, a list of to-dos, a big stick out to smack us. That's not God. God loves us. He cares for us. It's really important that you understand that we believe one other truth about this. It's in our statement of faith. It's on our website. It's something that we don't talk about because it's actually a part of the harmony of the gospel. You know, the melody in music, that's the line you sing along to. The melody is the thing that you should hear first. It's the thing that makes it easy to sing along with it. But the harmony comes in and makes it beautiful. And this passage in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about more than one thing. How many of you have ever said, life is hard, and you meant more than one thing? Have you ever said, life is good, and you meant more than one thing? Well, this passage in Romans 8, it means more than one thing. And I want to help you. We are not a church that will preach the gospel and deny the power. Jesus' followers were baptized in water, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith in him, and they waited in a room until he showed up. And when he showed up in power. And they were changed. They were what we call baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is real. It's a gift. It's available to everyone. It does not make you more important than anyone else. It is not a gift more important than any other, but it is available to everyone. And it is when you go through a change. Now, some of us had a bringing up where we were taught theology that's bad, that doesn't believe in this. And so therefore we have mental blocks. And so some of us can actually be baptized in the Holy Spirit without the evidence of speaking in tongues. But what happens is, there is an evidence in your life of you now have a powerful interaction with the living God, where you're changed, where you got some gumption, where you have some strength, where you have some courage. What happened in the New Testament over and over is it said that they prayed and they asked God for boldness, for courage, and then the Holy Spirit fell and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I pray for you. And I cry. You know, some of you know I'm a crier. It's been talked about me, it's prophesied over me, but it is not weakness. It is not a sign of strength. When I cry for you, I cry because I see the beauty of what God wants for you and the tragedy of when it is not there. But it is actually tears that come from strength because I do not rely on you. I do not rely on me. To see that change in your life, I rely on God. And I know that He will win. God will win. One of the things that I cry for in this church is a lack of understanding and interaction with God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to reach out and to ask God for this change. And let me explain it, okay? When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you don't lose control. It's a language like any other language. It's a language you can choose to speak or you can choose not to speak. It's a prayer language. And just like this verse talks about, you can have in your heart, in your mind, a desire for change or a specific topic that you want to pray about, and you can choose to pray in your spiritual language. And I'm going to give you an example of that right now. I can stand here in this moment and I know you. I know your lives. And I can pray for you with this gift. Because there are times where I'm overwhelmed. We're wanting to see God's grace for you. So when I pray in my spiritual language, the Spirit understands what I say. He knows my heart. And I pray in alignment with His will. Not my will, His will. And when I pray, there's power. There's change in me. There's change in you. You don't hear it on the mic in this church because we also believe what the Scripture says, that when we gather, especially in a public place where unbelievers can come among us, it should be done decently and in order. There's a gift of prophecy, there's a gift of tongues, there's a gift of discernment. We believe in those things, and I function in those things as well. Now, as your lead pastor, I don't function in the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and prophecy too much because I already know too much about you. But when I'm asked to be a guest in other places, I operate in those gifts because I don't know the people that are there. There are spiritual gifts that are to be desired. And 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is sandwiched in the chapters about the spiritual gifts because love in purity is the only right motive for the spiritual gifts. Will you stand with me, please? I know that some of you today are really hungry for change. I know that some of you today in this place are hungry for change inside you, inside your world, and inside others. And you recognize, you see stuff that is beyond your power, and you're hungry for God. And I want to tell you that right here, right now, God is available. Let's reach out to Him together. Let's welcome His Holy Spirit. If you're here, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's real easy. Jesus said when He prayed over His disciples, receive. Receive. It is that simple. So as I pray for you right now, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Him. Reach out to God the Father, God the Son, and welcome God the Holy Spirit. Right now. You've got a spiritual language. You can pray in your spiritual language right now. You're here and you sense God starting to move on you. Don't be shy. You got to make a decision with your mind, make a decision with your mouth, and let it go. I'm going to pray for you right now. Just seek God in purity and receive the Holy Spirit. God, we believe in You. We believe that Yahweh, You are our Creator. We believe, God the Father, You created us in our image, in Your image. We believe You chose us before we were born. We believe You are slow to anger, full of love, forgiving. We believe, Lord Jesus, You are God the Son who died that our sin could be removed, who loves us sacrificially without fail, that You, Lord Jesus, pray for us even now. And we believe in You, God the Holy Spirit, who guides us in truth, who renews our thoughts and attitudes and helps us pray. Right now, God, I ask that Your Holy Spirit would fall in this place, that You would give us the gift, being immersed in Your Spirit, being satisfied with only You, with the complete baptism of the Holy Spirit, with an evidence of speaking in tongues. Lord God, for everyone that's reaching out to You now, that You would be released, that You would make us strong, that You would give us the resulting boldness, that You would help us, Lord, to intercede, to call out to You for the change that we want to see, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every need that's being lifted up to You now, Lord, whether it be in English or another language, I pray, Lord God, You please show Yourself strong, bring the change we are unable to affect on our own. Bring the change on the inside of us and in others and in our circumstances we are incapable of doing. But God, may our focus be You and not the change we need to see, because You are ever satisfying. God, may we choose to fall in love with You, to personally interact with You in ways we have not. Lord, at a deeper level, Lord, help us to come together to seek You, to learn more about You, to focus on You and Your goodness and Your love and the way that You are unfailing. Yes. Lord, I pray that You would romance us in a whole new way. Help us to shake off and put down the limitations, the wrong thoughts, the wrong ideas that get in the way. Help us to set them aside. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that You would be biggest in our sight. Yes. You would be the thing we see the most, the one we hear the most. Help us to see You, to follow You, to love You, to live with a simplicity of following You, being in love with You. I thank You that You call us to enjoy You. Lord, I pray that You would cover the gift that You have in every person in this room. Cover the gift, protect it, Lord. We resist our enemy. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a Father who gives good gifts. Lord, we thank you for your love. I pray that you would help us this week to walk in faith, to talk with these faith statements of the truth, because we know you always satisfy. I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. If you're here today and you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, what we talked about, please feel free to grab myself, my wife, or your small group leader. Pull it up online on our statement of faith, or we've got further study that we can send your way to help you. But please, it's about your relationship with God. That's what it's about. It's about your interaction with God. Let's set our hunger on Him. Does that sound good? Our God is good. I have Jimmy play for a few minutes, and you feel free to enjoy the presence of God today. I love you. I'm happy to see you. Grace and peace to you today and this week as you go. God bless you.